Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Okay, hi. Rob is in New York for the live podcast, which will be up live tomorrow. Up taped tomorrow. The live show is going to be up taped tomorrow, Thursday, instead of the recap. So if you want to watch a bunch of drunken reality TV has-beens shouting at each other, that's the place for it. That sounds pretty good. Instead, I'm here with the great Aaron Moss, formerly Aaron Lobdell. My Survivor token chains ally friend. I mean, it's been like years and years since I've talked to you. I'm so excited to talk to you. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Hi, I'm so good. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on? Can you give us like a brief update, about your life?
Yeah.
You know, just like the three sentence. I mean, just, you know, three to five sentence overview of how your life is going. Yeah.
Cliff notes. I went on Survivor. I didn't win. It all worked out okay. I got married. I had a bunch of kids. I own a couple of businesses, and think things are good.
And you're in Michigan.
Yes. Yeah. I live just outside Detroit.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, I see you posting about Dry Bar. It seems like there's always like some huge new opening, some like big success that's happening. Like, I feel like, I mean, I guess you're not posting about the tough times, but like still,
well,
like,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
it seems
yeah,
like, yeah. Things are, it seems like you're thriving.
Yeah, no, I am very much a small business owner in the time of COVID, and that is extremely difficult, but we're like kind of limping along, and things are doing okay. It has been just like very recently felt like the world is sort of getting back to normal, and we're starting to see like some decent numbers in our businesses, and that's been fun because they've been far less than decent for a very long time. So it's kind of exciting. I have four boys. They are 2, 3, 5, and 6. So that keeps us, I mean, very busy.
That's
very, very busy.
Wow.
It's a lot. It's loud. It's loud, and they eat a lot of food.
You know, Rob Mariano has four girls. This could be like a perfect, you know, family combination.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. Although my number three is like a wild card. I wouldn't wish him on anybody.
Yeah. So have you been keeping up with Survivor? I mean, obviously I know you've watched this season, but, you know, do you consistently watch the show?
I do. So I will say, I tell people all the time, the difference between three kids and four kids is Hilton. Like once you have the fourth kid, you cannot watch TV. But we watched Survivor because my husband thinks he would be so good at it. He had never watched before he met me. And then he got like a little like really into it. And so that's like the one thing that we really do still watch. Although now we're like, I used to be able to tell you like every, like I had, you know, Fishback level of like knowing what was happening and who all the people were. And then the third episode of the 38th season, so-and-so said this, like now I'm like, what episode was that guy on? Like, did he win? Did he not win? I can't.
Well, I'm so glad you've been liberated from that. I would say you surpassed me back in the day. You definitely were like had better recall.
I was the know-it-allist.
Yeah.
I think
you were a real super fan of Survivor. Like,
yeah,
like long,
yeah,
like you're legit. I'm a Johnny Come Lately. Like you are a real hardcore super fan of Survivor.
Yeah.
And your husband is a professional. I mean, what a great, if they ever do a Blood versus Water season again. was a professional athlete.
Retired.
Okay.
Yes. That's even better.
Yeah.
That may have come up at one point. But the filming was during our wedding.
Oh, wow.
And that wasn't being changed or moved.
So. Yeah. Rob Cesternino and I got called to potentially be on Amazing Race, but it was also during our wedding. Well, it was during my wedding.
When you and Rob got married. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Which was beautiful. So let's jump into this episode. You know, we're the survivor. You fit perfectly. When Rob said, that he was going to be missing an episode, first of all, I was like, thank God. And then, finally I am free. And secondly, I was thinking you would be the perfect person to fill his place because you are truly, you really fill the Survivor Know-It-Alls ethos. You're someone who knows the game extremely well. You were right there at the end,
No, you were right there.
Well, I feel like the third place, you can always tell yourself, if I had made it one more day, maybe I would have won. I made it that last day. I know what happened. So I feel like you get a little bit of like more.
That
fantasy.
Is true. Yeah. That is true. I have a lot more like what if, like, yeah. Well, and if this, and if I hadn't dropped that stupid ball and then like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This
is but let's talk about this episode of Survivor.
Yes.
So big night tonight where it actually seemed like a real decision was being made. It seems like a lot of these episodes, like everyone kind of knows going in who's really going to get voted out. But tonight it seemed like there was a real question because it seemed like from the story we saw, we saw on the one hand, there were big moves being made against Jonathan. Lindsay was really excited for her blind side against Jonathan. She brought High on board. And then this other blind side against High started brewing. So, do you think, was this the right choice? To vote out High instead of Jonathan.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like short of the season that we were on and witnessed, like smart people are smart people. They're going to make smart moves. Like a really intelligent player, I think is scarier than a really physical player because like, even if you have that really physical player and make it to the end because they win every challenge, like they still have to convince a jury that they should win, right? So if you have someone who is just like very strategic, very intelligent, like that somebody to me, I like if I have a chance to get them out, I'm going to do it because they're a liability in so many more ways than like you can win challenges. It's also like not everybody can be lucky every day. Like we just saw Jonathan not win two challenges, right? Like he's not going to win every one.
Yeah, he's good, but he's only actually won. He's only won one immunity or two. Yeah. Two immunity? Well, I think it was one. I don't know.
Could you imagine if he was eating 18 eggs every day? He would win them all.
Exactly.
9 pieces of cheese, Steven.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, he's not well served with these, like, balance, thing on a thing. Like, he has not done particularly well at those.
Well, but, like, that's the thing, right? It's like the challenges are made so that everybody can be good at something, right? Like, there are some things that you're going to be great at. There are some things that I'm going to be great at. There's some things that are made for an athlete, right? Like, everybody is going to find their strength and it's rare that one person would be able to win them all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I agree with you. I think this was the right call. High certainly seemed to be, in everyone's sights. And it was kind of interesting. Like when Omer comes back and, starts suggesting High, like everyone's on board with High. And Marianne's is like, I know I was thinking High, I was kind of actually remembering when we voted out Tyson, everyone was like, oh yeah, no, that's my idea. I want to vote on Tyson,
For the record, my idea.
Whatever. I mean, on TV, that's what it looks like on TV. No, it's true. You were the first. I have to say you were the first person to say. It was really interesting that was the case where kind of everybody suddenly was like, yes, this is our chance to get out High, to the point that Omer is like, wait, maybe this is too easy. Maybe I shouldn't get out High because everyone wants High out. I mean, do you think there's any validity to that argument?
I mean, like, so we were like, we're sitting here, we're watching it, we're thinking it through, and we're doing the same thing. We're like, okay, there's a lot of show left here. Like, this is too easy. Like, it's all happening. Right. Like, it's all coming down. Like, something's going to happen. And then when he started saying it, like, I'm like spinning my wheels. I'm going through the motions. And I'm like, but what? Like, your only other option is just vote out Jonathan. And like, that's going to be an easy vote down the road too.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I like that he was thinking that way, but it seemed unnecessary a little bit.
I also think
you have to exhaust all your options.
Well, right. And also when the producers are asking you, give me a little, tell me why it would be a good idea to keep high. You know, they've got to they got a show to make. I also think that for Omer particularly, Jonathan really trusts him. You kind of want to keep people in the game who really trust you. Whereas High obviously, is schemier.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. One of the key parts of Omer's elimination of High was basically this long con he pulled on Mike. I mean, did you have any thoughts about, the way he sort of suckered Mike in, or, I don't know. I mean, he lied to Mike, right? He said he lied to Mike.
Yeah.
I thought, what do you make of all that?
I mean, he did, and he did it well, but the best lies are half truths, right? And High didn't need to come out and say that, but that's clearly how High has been operating. I have Mike in my pocket. He'll do what we need him to do. He doesn't need to come out and say it necessarily for Omer to maybe jump to that next step. So it was a lie, but it was an itty bitty lie, just sort of cloaked in truth a little bit. Which makes it, those are the best lies. It makes it pretty believable. And for Mike to say, and I can look at you and I can know that what you are saying is true. It was good. Good on him. It was great.
But that's a great point. It resonates for Mike because it's basically, High's not said those words necessarily, but he's certainly, communicated that with the way he treats Mike and Mike has obviously internalized that, and he internalized it with the Roxroy vote. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. I mean, do you think of Mike as being someone who is being led, or, we've seen so much great content from Mike in terms of these relationships he's making, in terms of having a real clear point of view, but is he someone who is just being led by, first High and now, at first Daniel in a way, then High, then, and now Omer.
Yeah. It would almost appear that way. I haven't really thought about it until you put it that way. It seems like it's hard because you have these people who are this is my word. This is my word. This is what I'm going to do. But then I think that the part that you don't see is you're having these internal dialogues. So I know that this is my alliance on day three, but day 12 is a different day. I'm sitting in a different space with a completely different perspective. So, it's easier to be swayed in those kinds of things. It's easier to go against those. Well, when I knew you for 5 minutes and I said we were going to go all the way,
exactly.
You're going to be my best man at my wedding. Well, then you turned around yesterday and screwed me. So see you later. It's hard because there's so much that can change in such a short period of time. And I think we see such a small portion of that, as much as anyone, there's all the big things that you see in the conversations about strategy and whatever, but sometimes you just want to vote somebody out because they sleep next to you and they're annoying. So it's all those things play into it. Sometimes it's as you really get to know somebody and you have all those long conversations around camp, your values and beliefs aren't the same as mine. And the great person I thought you were in the first 30 minutes that I knew you, maybe you're not, So I think that all of those things kind of play into some of that. And as much as it's easy to say no, this is the vote we're going to make, it might not have been as much being led as it almost gives permission when somebody comes up and is hey, thinking about doing this, what do you think about it? It's well, maybe that is the right move. Maybe that is what I need to do. Even though I said, 8 days ago, I would never do this to you. Now I probably want to do this to you.
That's a great point. So it's not even necessarily, even if Mike doesn't necessarily believe that High said that, which maybe he does, he wants to believe it because that gives him the okay. And then you see him going to Jonathan and saying, well, High is saying I'm his pup, he's using this thing that Omer gave him as his reason for why he's turning on High. That's a really a great point.
He's totally validated, right? He's oh, you're not the person I thought you were, so I don't have to be the person I told you I was.
That's a great, that's a really great point. That's interesting. I feel like there's always some too, there's like a little bit of like new toy syndrome on Survivor where like whoever like the new person is who you're talking to, you're like, oh, this is exciting. Like this person is interesting. You know, like this guy I've been with forever. Like he, like you said, like he's annoying. Like, I don't like the way, like the sounds he makes in the shelter. It's been getting on my nerves. But this person, I don't know at all. And like, who knows what this could lead to? I mean, there's a little, I mean,
Well, like you see that a little bit, like with Lindsay, when she right away was like, well, Jonathan, like he's the worst one in my alliance. Like now I have all these new people around. Like you're totally right.
Well, and that's an interesting, the Lindsay thing too is something I wanted to talk to you about, because Lindsay's concern is that.
If I just jump shipped on the point you were trying to make.
No. That, I thought I was like, yes, what a seamless transition. No, I loved it. I was like, oh my God, my bullet points. This is flowing so well. I think this thing is going well, you know, 15 minutes.
It's almost like we've talked about Survivor before.
Yeah, but not in a long time.
I know.
Well, I mean, this is somewhat, you know, relevant. So Lindsay says to, well, who is she talking to? She says that, like, she's talking to the camera. She says that she's worried that, you know, if Jonathan has these terrible ideas and is a bad strategist, she's going to have guilt by association. Like, she's going to be seen to be a bad strategist. I mean, do you think, like, what's your read on that? Like, is that like a legitimate fear? Or, I mean, do you think people can kind of see each people as individuals, or do you think Lindsay is kind of getting, I mean, lumped into this, you know, pot with Jonathan?
As someone who has been lumped into a pot, like it's easy for that to happen. Yeah. I think. I think it's really easy to have sort of the association with, you know, everybody wants to jump on somebody, right? And if you are the person with the closest proximity to that somebody, it's easy to, like, a tribe loves an easy vote. So like you have a reason to vote somebody. And then if you have somebody that's close to that somebody, you can be the next person. Like if that were the case, I would have been gone immediately in our season. Like right. It would have been the Candace vote, and then it would have been me, and I got lucky. So it wasn't, but like, I never did anything that warranted the Candace vote, like being after the Candace vote, besides like hanging out with Candace on the first day. Cause nobody else would.
Well, you so also like, had the evil smile.
Oh, I did have the evil smile. I forgot about my evil smile.
Oh, how did he had this like mime of you. That was the, I can't do
this
it.
Is true. Yeah. But you know, like things like that, like where there is some of that. But I also think too, like if you can stick through it, like you can get out of that association if you're aware of it. Like I didn't even realize that was happening when it was happening to me. And I think as long as you have some awareness of it, you can separate yourself enough and not even separate from that person, but just like make your own game stand out, like make your own moves, you know, kind of start to, as High loves to say, be the driver a little bit. And people see that.
Oh my God, those metaphors. Like, I can't. Like, yes, it's the driver. Now it's, we're like, you know, we're runners who are blindfolded. Mm-hmm. We're Jenga pieces. It's too much. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Well, he doesn't have a job that he can talk about. Like, he can't say, when I do this at work.
Right, when I'm a
fireman. So he has to come up with bad metaphors.
this season is very rich on the terrible metaphors. So in terms of like Lindsay standing out, like this was her episode she wins reward.
At the beginning of the episode, I was going, what's her name?
Lindsay. Do you, and then she of course wins immunity. Do you think, so Lindsay is chosen to go, wins reward. She gets to choose two people. She chooses Omer and Mike. What's your take on this? Were these like smart choices?
I feel like it was a smart choice. I think that you do have to, there is like a little responsibility of, I think, not that I've ever won a reward and know what that feels like. But I think there is some responsibility to think about like, okay, who are the people that haven't had anything? Like they're, and not a responsibility to feed them, but a responsibility to curry yourself some favor when you need it. Like, you know, you are like, you know, remembering that you're also playing for a vote in the end too. Like, remember that time I got to see my family and it was all because of her. If it comes down to her and Jonathan, well, now she's got my vote, right? So I think that those things are really important. I can't imagine that she and Omar, at least from what we've seen, had like a ton of working together, a ton of alliance, that sort of thing. So it probably was a good move in that respect too. And then like, who's not bringing Mike to that? He's like the best guy. I would bring Mike just to hang out with him.
I mean, honestly, like, that, well, and but that I wonder if like, if there's any, you know, there's a lot, I mean, as you suggested, there's just constant talk back at camp about like who's, I mean, and I certainly found this to be true on Token Chains, and it was a little bit maybe less true in Cambodia, but like, you know, we just talked nonstop over who had won what, who had eaten what, like whose turn it was to go on reward. And, you know, I'm sure they're all extremely aware of that. And like you're saying, like there's a little bit of a sense of like who deserves it now. And it's not just kindness or even, I think, as you're saying, like, you know, currying a vote, but there's also it kind of like absolves you of responsibility in a way where you're saying like, oh, I'm just taking the two people who are next on the list. Like, I'm not making any.
Well, and like we really like, I kind of forgot about that. Like, it was really like, well, whoever wins is taking these two people, right? Like, that was really how we did it.
Yeah. And I think there's, I mean, you know, now people who take their allies are strongly criticized for that decision. I think there's a lot of validity to taking your allies. So, in fact, you were part of when I won a reward in Token Chains, I took JT and Taj, which looking back now would be seen as very dumb. I stand by that. But then you were sent to to exile. Can you explain why that was a brilliant choice on my part?
I mean,
people would say, right, the people would say the correct move would have been to take you on the reward because like you're the person we most needed in the vote. You know, why not keep her as close as possible to you? Send someone, you know, else who's maybe less of a, you know, to exile, you know, someone you trust who you're not too worried if they get the idol.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so. Here's what I would say in that. You already knew you had my vote more than anybody knew that I trusted you. So there was that. It was smart to send me away because it kept me from everybody else. I think. I think that was smart in not leaving me with the group where I could have potentially been swayed or something else could have happened. So I think that was probably an all right move.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And like, I knew, like we had talked about it and it was fine. I will say 13 years of hindsight or whatever it's been, that experience on exile has shaped much of the course of my life since then.
Wow.
So it's fine. I'm fine now. I'm not mad about it anymore.
Wait, shape in a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. If you remember, that trip to exile was brutal, Steven.
Oh, yeah. No, I do remember.
Brutal.
Yeah.
it was terrible.
It was like pouring, right? I mean, it I remember like we were just like how terrible we felt for you.
Yeah. I was on a vacation last week with my husband and another couple, and we were at a resort that had like a lazy river. And we were going through the lazy river, like do 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 do, and I was getting water on my face, and I was like, and they were like, "What are you freaking out about?" I was like, "It's a Survivor thing. I still feel weird about water in my face."
Wow, that's so interesting. So you don't? I mean, do you wash your face? Like,
I mean, I do, but I'm controlling it. But I would never like go outside and just be in the rain and feel awesome about it.
Yeah, that's really, really, I kind of like at the time I was like, I have like mastered rain. I am no longer like fazed by rain. But now I'm like, oh, God, why would I ever choose to have that again? I've had enough.
Yes,
rain.
100%. No, never.
But so just to very elegantly loop that back into this episode. So my, you know, was there any like better choice here for Lindsay in terms of taking someone who was maybe less her ally, because she takes Omar, who has been with her since the very beginning. You know,
she's been in like a pretty good spot though, because she doesn't have, I mean, who else was she going to take? Romeo? Doesn't know what's going on ever anyway.
Hi. I mean, we haven't really seen a lot of like Lindsay. I mean, again, like, as you're saying, like there's so much. That
except that they had that whole conversation sitting right in front of Jonathan.
That was crazy. They were this close. That was crazy. Wild. Yeah.
Like, I thought at first I was like, why are they doing this like weird camera trick? Like, yeah. What's happening? And I was like, oh shit, no, they're right there. Yeah, that was a weird one. But like, I feel like too, in that she like locked it up so she didn't need to take him. That right. would have been the only other person that I would have said maybe take. But then like, I think he's so sneaky that it would have made it look like, well, I'm taking sneaky man so I can be.
That's interesting. I'm making like the strategic, snake. I'm making yeah. a move. That's interesting. I mean, yeah. that's a very yeah. good point. And that is sort of why you kind of stick to like the yeah. like people you're supposed to is so yeah. nobody thinks you're.
Yeah. Well, and if you had taken anybody but Taj and JT, it would have been like, why are you doing that? Like you three are you three.
Right. It was a different era of Survivor. You yeah. know, like we were like, oh, yeah. it's us. We're the alliance. Yeah. Like, you're the other alliance. You know, like yeah. things have sped up a lot. Yeah. So Lindsay Underwood. Lindsay has an interesting decision, you know, again, like a real Lindsay focused episode, in terms of voting out High because of this amulet.
Duh, get shares. Rid of him.
Okay, that was my question. Yeah, just get rid of him. Yeah. yeah. But then does this point
farther go?
Is this a red flag for Drea, who's like, oh, you just got rid of the other person? I mean, Drea was on board with getting out High. And I thought like that, you know, I love that moment where she says, yeah. you know, I can just picture my husband watching this saying, why don't you get rid of him now? Yeah. You know, still like if you eliminate the one person with the amulet, the other people with the amulet are going to be like, wait a second, like we're voting yeah. out people with amulets.
I think that Lindsay does a good job. And like, it's the exact opposite of what she was saying. Like Jonathan comes up with this plan and he tells everybody it's his plan and it's a dumb plan, but it's the plan we're going to go with. She does a good job, I think, of like bringing people in and making them feel like they're a part of the decision-making process. And I think that's what she did with Drea so that there was not like a, oh, we're doing that now.
Yeah, that's right. I think she's great at that. And I mean, Omer is certainly, obviously just amazing at that. I mean, his conversation with Mike at the start of the episode where he was like, I'm just so sorry you feel bad. You know, like he really empathizes in this amazing way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, Lindsay too was really strong at that this episode. I still kind of think this, you know, I get her wanting to separate herself from Jonathan, and obviously she didn't vote out Jonathan, but I worry for someone like Lindsay, you know, you vote out your biggest ally and then suddenly you're the next, I mean, you know, you're the next target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's like, it would have been interesting because especially after two wins, like I think it may have been different if anybody else would have won, obviously not if Jonathan, but right. if anybody else would have won, it would have been easier to vote out Jonathan, but like she's now the most winning person because Tori's gone. So like who's won more than she has? Well, okay. Well, if we're looking at threats, there you go. She's
That's a great point. That's a really good point that it suddenly establishes her mm-hmm. as like, I mean, to win two in a row. I mean, in some ways,
yeah.
you know, there's always, people are always asking the question, oh, should someone throw challenges? Should, you know, is it too much? And you never want to, I mean, because you, when you're competing for reward, you really want to eat. And when you're competing for immunity, like you obviously really want to be safe for one night. But right. I mean, is it too much to win yeah. two in a row?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So no, I agree with you. No, no, it's not. No.
Win all of them.
Yeah. That's my philosophy too. I don't like it when people get cute about like, well, you should throw this challenge. So Romeo votes for Jonathan. So the two votes for Jonathan are High and Romeo. Does Romeo, like, was there a reason? Was this like a strategic vote or was this like, I'm not in on the plan vote?
This is 100% I'm not in on the plan vote. You don't think?
No, I don't feel like he's ever
in on the plan.
Poor Romeo, though. What happened? He had such a strong start.
I know. Poor Romeo. Yeah. He's cute. Like, he follows along cutely with everybody else.
I know, but what's crazy is, like, he really had a great start. Like, he was very, yes, he really yes. seemed to be, like, a power player out of the gate. And now he's yeah. kind of receded.
Yes. Well, and that might resurface.
That's right. I mean, I think there's room for Romeo. You know, Rob has been pushing this, Romeo theory for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So it could happen. It's an interesting challenge now. You know, we saw that scene with High and Jonathan, where High says mm-hmm. to him, oh, I'll play my idol for you as a way of, you know, kind of forestalling Jonathan from right. playing his shot in the dark because High thinks Jonathan is going home.
Right.
It's a really interesting challenge to always have to, you know, think about that possibility. I also thought, like, I didn't necessarily think that High did, like, the idea of, like, oh, I'll play my idol for you. I mean, it's such a grandiose thing. Nobody thinks you have an idol.
I haven't talked to you this whole time. I found an idol. I'll play it for you. We're not in an alliance, but, like, I'll do that out of the goodness of my heart. Like, it's exactly what Omer said. If you're going to tell a lie, tell a good lie, not a stupid one.
It's a great line. That's a really great line. Yeah. Omer gives great confessionals. He's so innocent. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he's got this, like, really innocent, like these, like, big puppy dog eyes and this innocent face. And then his confessionals, he just, like, really turns it on. I mean, he's like my favorite kind of Survivor player because he's, like, so good seeming. I mean, like kind seeming.
It's going to be, like, it's going to be great with all these people watching it back. And they're like, he did what?
Yeah.
Come on. Like, they think they knew him, right?
Well, I think that's a danger for Omer, is that maybe he gets to the end and people are like, no, he wasn't pulling the strings. Like, sweet Omer? Like, no, nobody, like, you know, Omer would never have pulled any strings.
That's true. This is true. But, like, that's a great thing about Survivor. You get the opportunity to say, oh, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. This is my resume. Please vote for me.
Do you think that there's the jury? Do you think you can change? And I'm not, you know, I know you were at one jury performance where someone gave a terrible performance. We don't need to talk about that. But do you think, as a rule, you can change a jury's mind? Like you're going into, I mean, you're walking into that bench, you know, do you think you can be swayed?
I think you can. It depends on the jury. It depends on if they're bitter. It depends on what's happened. But if you're three people and two of them are like, one person's not going to win. Like, if it's down to three, we know one's not going to win. They might get a vote or two, whatever. But like, if it's down to those two and it's kind of like, they're both likable and they both did some stuff and like, yeah, maybe. Like, I think so. Yeah. I think if you can, especially if it's two people that got there kind of together and they can separate themselves enough, you should be able to.
Yeah.
And provided one of them is not, you know, the salt of the earth, Southern boy.
Listen, I mean, you know, JT didn't need me to do as badly as I did, but I did it anyway. I did it for him.
I know.
So speaking of the jury, one concern I had for Omer in this, right? So they're sending High out of the jury. If Mike goes to the jury and Mike says to Omer, like, you said, you called me your puppet. I says, no, I didn't. You know? If Mike is on the jury, these guys could swap stories and suddenly they're furious and Omer. I mean, there's such a huge risk of lying to someone, both because they could swap stories in the game and because they could swap stories out of the game.
Yes. But I also think that, like, if that is true, like, across the board, that is true. But think about the two people in question. Like, you're going to have Mike, who says, he lied to me. Oh my God, he will not have my vote. He's not my guy anymore. Like, he is done. But then you're going to have High, who's going to say, he lied to you. And that's how this all happened. Good on you. Like, there you go.
Right. That's interesting.
So,
right.
You know, it's like some people are going to be here for it and some people aren't. So it could go either way.
I was looking at Twitter, as I sometimes do, and reality TV expert Taryn Armstrong had an interesting point that it actually behooves Omer to get out High soon because he's told Mike this lie, because he has lied to Mike. Like, the sooner High is out of the game, they can't swap stories.
Yeah. Like, if they find out on the jury, you do not want them to find out in the game.
Right. Cause then you're the next target.
And you're done.
What did you think of this? I mean, not a loved one's visit, obviously, you know, because of quarantine and everything, they weren't able to bring loved ones onto location. Mm-hmm. What did you think of, like, the way they kind of integrated the loved ones videos?
It was nice. I sure hope they saw a lot more than what we saw. How creepy and weird.
You know, what a strange introduction. The voices coming out of the wilderness.
Like, what in the world? Especially because there's so little, like, production that happens when you're out there. You know, it's like, there's like the things at Tribal Council and that's it. But like, we don't hear the music. We don't have all the things that you see once it's on TV. That had to have been so flipping weird.
Yeah, you're so right. That's such a great point. You're like in the woods, you're like huddled over your little food. And then suddenly like the whole like, you know, you're sleep deprived. All of a sudden,
we're in a movie. Like what?
Yeah.
So bizarre. Yeah. No, like, I thought it was sweet. Like, that's always it's always my favorite part. I love when you get to have the loved ones. It's got to be so hard that they didn't have that. But also, can we talk about the fact that they're only there for 3.5 weeks?
Well, I was going to ask you about that, actually. See, these transitions, they're going so good. That was my next question. Okay, we're so in sync, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do a lot for 26 days. Is that what it is? 26, 28, 26?
26. Yeah. Yeah. It's really kind of wild. Like, so where do you stand on this? You know, there are some, you know, the 26 days thing.
Dumb. Like at 26 days, like there were like 10 of us left. Like we're all just like happy and like cruising. It's like you get into like day 29, 30, 31 that you're like, oh, so we've all lost 20 pounds. Oh, we're seeing double. Oh, we can't stand up straight. Oh,
yeah. You literally, I remember you would like get up and like, you'd like,
I fell over all the time.
Yeah, you were falling. Exactly. Yeah.
But like, it was like those things don't even come into play until later. And those, I think, are the things that can like really start to affect your gameplay. Like when you get into that, like, because it's exactly like, maybe it was like one or two episodes where somebody was saying like, you lay awake at night and you're, you know, like it might've been Mike, like you have your plan and then you're like, okay, like, and then if this scenario happens, this is what I'm going to do. And then this is what I'm going to do. And then you wake up in the morning and then something else changes. So you can't do it like that. Those things fire in the first half of the game. And in the second half, like I remember, like, remember all the times you'd be sitting there and you're like, okay, like if this person votes and then I have this vote over here and then this one. And then like, if Steven votes this way and coach vote, wait, okay. So if Steven votes, this, I mean, like I couldn't even, like I couldn't count it. And we were at like 6 people and I knew what I was doing and I knew what you were doing. Like it was so hard to wrap your brain around that. And that didn't even kick in until after 26 days.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, I feel like in those, like the last like 5-6 days, like I feel like at the final four, it was like, whoa, like suddenly like there's only 4 people. Like you think it would be very straightforward. Now, I mean, you know, they don't even have a final four right now. They've got fire making into final three, but it really did feel like strategy just like jumped into hyperdrive right at the end game. And, you know, they're at day 18. They're talking about having just a few days left. Day 18 isn't even the halfway point of a normal season of Survivor. I mean, Australian Survivor, it's like the third point, a third of the way into the game. I mean, here's my hot take. I actually don't mind it so much. I agree with you that you are crazier and less capable of making like strategic decisions and that your body is more emaciated and worn out. I don't feel like I necessarily need it. The only point where it gets me is when they do actually talk about the days. Like, you know, like I don't need to see people like lose their minds or become skeletal. But when they're like, my God, we've been here for a week. It's like so long. Like that's when I'm like, no, it's
been 12 days.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
You weren't even at the merge yet.
Like, yeah. Right. Exactly. I'm right there with you. Aaron, let's see, is there anything else or should we get into some questions here?
We got questions. Let's do
take
it.
Questions. Do we have questions? Yeah. 8 questions. Yeah. Okay, let's get some questions.
Yeah.
Okay, Coulter wants to know, if Jonathan does not win immunity next week, is it guaranteed he's gone?
Oh, I don't think so.
What do you think? Oh, go ahead.
I mean, like, there are so many people that, like, the first of all, the twist, all the crazy things, all the weird casting, all the twists, all the things. There's so much more happening now, I think, that can switch things up. And, like, all it takes is for one person to find out about some weird twist that somebody has or some advantage and be scared, right? Like, you're running scared from all these different things that now all of a sudden, like, if somebody has an advantage that you like, largely like these are advantages they've never seen before. We've seen them only once. Some have worked, some have not. But if you find out about like a knowledge is power and that word gets out on that, well, now all of a sudden everybody wants to get that person gone. You know, I think that there's so much more that's up in the air now than like the straightforward Survivor that we have seen before. Old Survivor, yeah, he's probably gone. Now there's too many other things that can go sideways.
Oh, speaking of knowledge is power, we didn't even talk about, you know, so the idols and the knowledge is power.
Well, Drea, Drea's got 37 things. I can't. Exactly. I need like a spreadsheet to keep straight what all the things are.
I know. Drea though knows where, you know, one of the two idols is. She knows where Mike's idol is. She doesn't necessarily know about Marianne's idol. When is she going to just like nab that for herself? The problem is it's such a power move. It's such like an aggressive thing to do. Oh, when is Drea going to nab that idol for herself? Like, cause it's, it's such an aggressive thing to do. Like it's going to obviously infuriate Mike. Like maybe she never does it.
Yeah, maybe not. And that's like, that's a trust thing, right? Like maybe holding somebody's trust is more powerful than having the idol.
Yeah. And the other thing is she can use it at tribal council. So she feels like, you know, she feels kind of uncomfortable. Okay. Ida wants to know, was Jonathan's reaction to Lindsay's answer at tribal council all theater to make High feel safe? It was an interesting moment where Lindsay says, you know, this is about leveling the playing field. And then Jonathan like raises an eyebrow and is like, who are you talking about here? Mm-hmm. Did Jonathan know he was safe or, was he just playing along to make High feel good, or was he actually nervous in that moment?
I think that one thing that you don't think about when you are watching this at home is that when you're sitting on your stools, the way that they're set up, you can't really see each other. Like if someone's in your same row, you can't see their face. If someone's sitting in front of you, you can't see their face. So if you're raising eyebrows, making the big eyes, rolling your eyes, like all of that stuff, like people don't see it. It might get Jeff to ask you a question, but like the other people don't see it. So I don't think that was necessarily like for that reason. Like I think a lot of those are genuine reactions, but I do think then like he was asked about it and he had to be like, oh wait, like I do need to have a more diplomatic answer here. Yeah. The other thing too that happens with this is that the way the casting has changed, which I think is a good thing, but there are far less just like dynamic personalities that have been cast on these last few episodes or last few seasons. And like you have far less people who are like really polished and have like not necessarily more experience being in front of a camera, but are just really comfortable.
You're saying people are less comfortable being on the spot now than they used to be. That's so interesting. I feel like the opposite. I feel like everyone now is like memeing and they're all like ready for, you know, they've all got, they're like, you know,
I feel like there's a lot of weirdos who are not interesting. And like,
really, that's so, I love this cast. That's so interesting. Oh my God. I'm so enjoying this cast. That's such an interesting take.
Now I like as now I'm invested in them. Like now it's been a handful of episodes in, but in the beginning I was like, really, really,
huh?
I like them more now,
it's very interesting. Cause like I've really been enjoying, this. But one thing I wanted to say about the, you know, Jonathan knowing whether or not he is safe is, you know, or sorry, Jonathan necessarily being the next person to go next episode. Is that one thing we haven't talked a lot about, you know, and I think the show has only occasionally raised this issue, is this Taku 4, who, you know, is Jonathan, Lindsay, Omer, and Marianne, who now they're the majority. Now they have all, they can run the numbers. And, you know, to your point, just because you were friends with someone on day 7 doesn't mean you're going to be friends with them on day 9, mm-hmm. but that has to be in their minds. They have to be considering that, like, hey, there's 7 people. The 4 of us somehow are still left. Let's just run it down to 4. And I feel like with that foursome, and I said this, I think last week on this podcast, you know, they each are different. They each kind of have a story to tell if they get to the end. Like if you're Marianne, like, why wouldn't you want to sit next to Jonathan? Like he's so unlike you, you know, that you can say like, yeah, he's this like, big lug who won all the challenges, but I had my idols. I like made, you know, all these moves. And same with Jonathan. I'm sure from Jonathan's perspective, he's like, I'm going to go in and talk about how great I was in the challenges. You know, everyone's got their in there. And then Omer is going to say, I had this amazing social game. So I really think that could factor in, you know, pretty well.
This is a great question, Deanna.
Okay. Do you want to read Deanna's question?
Yeah. Who puts it together that Omer is dangerous and with whom?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like nobody's on to him.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Like, is Omer just going to make it? Is Omer going all the way?
I mean, I hope so. Yeah, I will say, so as much as I'm like, oh yeah, I don't like love this cast, like there's so many people that I'm like, well, I hope he goes to the end.
Yeah.
I do kind of like, for as much as he's a big lug, I do like Jonathan a lot. I like Lindsay. I like Drea. Like, I like, I love Mike. Like, yeah. There's so many people that I'm like, yeah, okay, okay, okay.
Who are you?
But yeah, who's your, like,
who's your rooting interest? Like, do you have someone who you're, or not even a rooting interest, who do you think is going to win? Like, if you had to, you know, do your winner pick right now based on their position in the game, who do you think it is?
Drea or Omer, 50-50.
Yeah. That's sort of where I am too. I mean, I've been a big Mike partisan until this episode, where I feel like if everyone thinks he's kind of being led this way and that, like, you know, is he going to get to the end? And maybe he can still make the case. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is an interesting question. Okay. Mar Forever wants to know, out of Marianne, Drea, Mike, and Omer, who has final tribal council most locked up? Well, that's what we were just talking about.
Yeah. I would have said Mike before this. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And Omer, like, I do feel like, you know, because he's so, I mean, there's that, Aaron for second chances too. Great question. Or great name. Tonight was Lindsay's breakout episode.
Great name.
Is she on an Erica trajectory from here on out? Is Lindsay the rooting favorite now?
I mean, little Erica, she came from nowhere. Felt like all of a sudden she was there and then she took it and ran. Maybe it was a great episode for her.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've seen enough of her for that to be true.
Maybe to your point about Erica, it's like, you know, after last season, I was like, I can't, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. It used to be that you, like, by the second episode, you can tell who is going to be in the top four.
100%.
Always.
Yeah.
And now I don't feel that way.
All right, Minnesota, MN girl, Minnesota girl,
Minnesota,
yes. Montana. Okay.
Minnesota
MT. Girl. Thanks. Thank you. I'm bad with the state. Are there any players that this season that remind either of you of yourselves on Token Chains?
Well, they cast a lot of awkward weirdos now. So most of them.
You're right. Is that how you self-identify? I remember the first time I saw you, I was like, oh my God, being on reality TV, it's great. I'm going to be with all these, like, on an island with all, well, the island of Brazil is like beautiful.
The island of Brazil. Yeah. And then you actually had a conversation with me and you were like, oh yeah, she's like this nerd that just wants to survive. And no, I mean, like, there is like a lot of, like, I think that there was a couple episodes back when everybody was kind of talking about, you know, like, I was an awkward weirdo, or like I was really not confident in who I was, or I had like all these struggles or whatever. And then like now I came here and I'm like confident in who I am and all those kinds of things. I was in a place where I kind of wasn't. Like, I was having like a big quarter life crisis. I didn't really know who I was. I had to like go there and sort of like get back to it and be like, oh yeah, like I can do all these hard things. And so I was kind of like on the flip side of that, where I was like pretty unsure of myself, and then was able to come out of it. And I think like your story sort of similar, like we were like true underdogs that had this like transformational like thing that happened in the jungle and whatever. I haven't seen that as much as I thought I would at the beginning of this season.
That's a good point. I mean, there are, I feel like if anyone, just in terms of that arc, and I don't necessarily think that this is a player who's like me, but I think Marianne is kind of on that trajectory a little bit of someone who has a lot of self-doubt coming into this and is seeing herself really excel. And that's something we didn't talk about, which was that she finds another idol, which was just awesome. And she was like looking for wood. She was like trying to help out the camp and then was, you know, found the idol, which was very cool.
Yeah, no, that was a great scene. I love that one. And just like the way that she was like, this is just like a sign that I am like doing all the right things. And I was like, it's good. Like, I tell my kids all the time, like, you work hard, you do the right things, like you get rewarded for them. And like, that's exactly how it played out.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that it? Do we have any other, a Tubby Lunchbox wants to know, Aaron, whose game from this season do you most relate to?
I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, like, you were very much, you know, the game that you played was unusual when you played it. And I feel like a lot of people have become, you know, modeling themselves on you, on you and others who are, you know, were able to kind of like move between alliances. You know,
that
kind
was
of recognize it really was. I mean, when like like you recognized your position, you know, which is all, I mean, I remember like before, I remember watching the show, there would always be someone on the bottom of the alliance and they would just stay there and they would vote with their alliance until they were eliminated. It was infuriating. And then, you know, you were like someone who recognized, hey, this is, this is really not great for me. Well, like, and flipped the game on its head.
Like for me, I was like, I can be seven or I can be four. Like, and from, I always played for one, like my three more days. Like it's a 3 day cycle. Like I just want, if I can stay here for three more days, I can make something else happen in those 3 days. And that was a huge part of it, was like, you know, I know how to do math. Like I can put myself in a better position tomorrow than I'm in today. And then I can like get from there. And I don't, it's so interesting. It's almost hard to identify with how the game is played now, because like the things that happen, like when everybody just, it hasn't totally happened yet, except for like the crazy vote last week where everybody had an idol and all the things. But like, could you imagine just sitting in tribal council and like having a whole conversation about what we're going to do and all the whispering and the getting up and the walking around and like doing all that stuff? Like that is like foreign to me. Also, nobody looked for an idol until they had a clue when we played.
Yeah, like crazy, it's crazy. Just,
like remember when Russell did that and like sitting at home and watching and be like, what is he doing?
But to be fair, like they really, I mean, the idols used to be, I mean, that's not just us being dumb. Like the way that the idols were hidden, I mean, maybe in our season, they actually, it was somewhere you could find it. But like, you know, I mean, I feel like, I think it was like Penner maybe. Like, you know, they were really specific. Oh, you have to walk like seven paces and the sun is at four in the afternoon and where the shadow is. I mean, it was like, there was no way you could just randomly find these things. They've changed the game to make these things. But you're right. I mean, it's, even in Cambodia, it was so much more chaotic, and I can't imagine. And that was before people were like getting up at tribal councils and changing things at the last minute. You know, I mean, like it seems like very, very stressful.
Well, and but, like, it just like the, I came in very, very prepared as a fan, right? Like I think like of anybody that was with us, I probably knew the most about like what happens in Survivor. What are the trends? What happens when a person does this? What happens when a person does that? And like, I was pretty prepared for every scenario. I can't even imagine going into this now and having somebody who's like a true like student of the game playing it. It's so much, so much swimming around your head. It'd be crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean, I think you're exactly right. And I think we saw that, you know, I think that that was sort of what has happened in a lot of recent seasons. And it seems to be less the, and interesting, like actually that's a really good, great point. Like I feel like in a lot of different seasons in what some people are calling the Calvin Paul era of Survivor, like you come in, you can't put a plan into place because every day something new happens, some new magical advantage occurs, there's some new wild twist. And as a result, the players kind of don't play as well because they, like you can't play strategically. You have to play reactively. You can't play, you can't make a play, have a forward thinking game. And, but like, I feel like this season, I mean, at least for me, people are playing better. And part of that might be because they've really pulled back a lot of those. And there's still a lot of extra votes. Andrea's got her knowledge as power and, you know, but the idols were less of a thing. You know, they really de-emphasized the power of the idols by having them be beware advantages. You know, Marianne's idol is the first like true idol that they've had. You know, the amulet is like a three-partite shared thing. So, I mean, I really agree with you that like it's, you can't come in the same way you could, but now it seems this season, and unlike a lot of recent seasons, they really are playing a strategic game. You know, Omer's move on High, Lindsay's, you know, potential move against Jonathan, these weren't, you know, this was old school Survivor. You know, this was social politics, building alliances, you know, trying to separate yourself from your allies. And I mean, it's great.
For sure.
All right. I actually love Omer wants to know, it's a great name too. Is it hypocritical for Mike to be annoyed with High for lying to him when High was 100% honest and it was Mike who was the one who lied?
Different kind of lie.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like, you know, everyone lies on Survivor. You know, you all, everyone has their own, like, you know, what counts as a lie and what counts as a, you know, fair deception. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this and I feel this way about you are two different kinds of lies. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a different deal.
Aaron, is there anything else that, you know, you want to, anything else that's on your mind, like about the episode, about Survivor, about life?
Gosh, that's a lot.
It's a big question. I know. Yeah.
That is a big
What's coming up for you? Anything big coming up for you? And you want to,
no, I don't have anything big coming up. It used to be that I would say, well, I'm pregnant again. but no, that's not happening anymore. We are four and out. No, like I hang out with my kids a lot and I work a little bit and work a lot.
That's
but,
amazing.
Things are good. Things are good. It's funny now, my kids are starting to be old enough that like, I'm like sports mom. And my oldest, my kids have played hockey since they were really little. We get them on the ice at about 2.5 or 3. And my 6-year-old now is in like his first like real team, like tournaments, like the whole thing. And they had their first tournament this weekend. And I've always felt like I've seen 1,000 hockey games. Like I kind of watch and I kind of am into it. And if it's like an important game, I'm like really like on the edge of my seat, but like, you know, I'm not like crazy about it or anything. So I thought with my kids, like I'd do the same. Like I'd be happy to just show up to the rink with my coffee and kind of chat with the other moms and like all is good. First game of this tournament that happened this weekend, the first like legitimately important game my child has ever played. We're on vacation getting water on my face. And we have to actually stream the game. So we're sitting in the pool at the hotel streaming this game. And it's the other couple that's with us has their kids on the team as well. And we have the computer sitting on the side of the pool and we are screaming at the computer, like freaking out. So excited. Like so stressed. Like it was nuts. Like the other people at the hotel were like, there's no sports happening right now. Like, what are you guys watching? We're like, it's our kids hockey tournament. They're like, oh, like what level? We're like, they're 6. so I'm officially crazy. That's hockey awesome. Mom, but it's fun. Yeah.
Well, how did they do?
So they did great. They did great. They tied that game. They let them tie at this level. So they tied one, they lost one, they won one. Like it was fine. Like all you have to do at the score doesn't matter. You just have to work hard and be a good teammate. They're 6.
That's really nice. That's great.
And win.
Work hard, be a good teammate, and then win the game. Most important of all. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on. I know so many people were excited to have you.
Thanks for having
here.
Me.
And oh my gosh, it was so much fun. Yeah. It was so fun to catch up with you. Hopefully we can do it, you know, sooner and not, you know, it doesn't have to be on a podcast. This was great. I really loved it. And I'm so grateful to you. And I know, I was excited. Oh, a Fishy Award for Omer, obviously. Thanks so much, sure. Aaron.
And awesome. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for having me. It was great to see you.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I don't know how we end this, actually. Do we Scott?
That's okay.
Maybe we just leave the studio?